In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're moving right into this part of the book about Aunt Rosaria, Father Bucci's aunt. Father Bucci says that his aunt Rosaria was a faithful and silent confidant of Luisa for 40 years, and her first promoter. This is the thing that Luisa prophesied Aunt Rosaria, you will be my witness. And basically, as soon as Luisa died, Aunt Rosaria, Father Bucci's aunt, would go to the Vatican and to the cardinals, to the bishops, and tell them how magnificent she was, how magnificent Luisa was. And this is something that we're now doing. We're following her lead, we're telling everybody basically how great Luisa is, how magnificent she is. A lot of people don't understand Luisa, and they fear Luisa because they hear certain things that are not accurate. You know, like some people say Jesus said Luisa is greater than his mother. He never said that. Jesus said, you are the little daughter of the divine woman. My mother is mother and queen of heaven and earth. So no one could ever compare, you know, Luisa as greater than Our Lady. No one, Jesus says, can fill the shoes of the blessed mother, his mother. So Jesus shows us, through Father Bucci, Rosaria Bucci. She was Luisa's faithful and silent confidant who lived with Luisa and assisted Luisa for 40 years. So if you always look at Aunt Rosaria, she's always hiding her left hand because her four fingers were cut off of her left hand as a little child when she was climbing up a dresser, and the whole cabinet fell on her and basically crushed her fingers, destroyed her hand, and her fingers were gone. The great thing about this is, and why I say the great thing is, she was not considered worthy to be a wife, because how do you have someone who's the husband's helper having half a hand or one hand, one usable hand? And so God had this planned, the sacrifice that she was asked to go through, this victim soul, if you want to say, was planned by God. And that's what we're going to see in our life, each one of our lives, that certain things that we went through as children, certain things that we went through in our life, God had planned for his glory and our salvation. And when we get to heaven, we are going to thank God for everything. And the best way to thank God now is to have that discipline of thanking God and praising God and loving God and glorifying God and worshiping God. If we really begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, it's a life of thankfulness. Jesus says, hardly any human thanks God. We, for example, creation, all the I love yous of creation, all the I love yous of redemption, we hardly ever think about it. But once we get into the divine will, it's Jesus teaches us that he needs us to surrender so that God can reign in us. And we're like wild animals, and God allows certain things to happen to us to calm us down, if you want to say, break us, like a wild horse being broken. God allows these things to happen to in our life. And we are going to thank God because we're going to see from a divine perspective when we get to heaven, this new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all of humanity. So Luisa took care. Aunt Rosaria was Luisa's faithful and silent confidant who lived with Luisa and assisted Luisa for 40 years. Aunt Rosaria, as Father Bucci often referred to her, was the sister of Father Bernardino's father. A few weeks before Luisa died, Luisa informed Aunt Rosaria that Jesus has now given Aunt Rosaria the mission of helping the preborn children. And as we see today, with all the many miscarriages, with the stillborns, with the abortions, this is something that's important to the Lord. And so Luisa said, she now has this mission of helping preborns in a similar way that Jesus gave to Luisa the mission of those born to the light of the day. That's in volume 36, April 12, 1938. So Jesus says to Luisa, as you were asking in my divine will for the baptism of all newborn babies that shall be born to come to the light of the day, and then for its life to reign in them, for this life of the divine will to reign in them. So Luisa mentions this to Jesus. This is the first page of volume 36, the very first day. And Jesus says, my divine will did not hesitate for one instant. Immediately, it pronounced its fiat and formed as many lives from itself for as many newborn babies coming to the light, baptizing them as you wanted with its first light and then giving each one of them the divine will life. What does this mean? Luisa said to Jesus, well, how can this be? I just prayed this. And Jesus says, you prayed the prayer that I gave you. It gives us an understanding that in the divine will, many of the things that we pray, what we pray for, God has already given us that prayer, and we echo that prayer, and God answers that prayer. It's like the command prayer. The command prayer is the prayer that Peter said when he was in the boat, and the boat was being tossed by the waves, and there's Jesus walking on the water, and he yells out, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water. That's impossible for a human. But what Jesus is showing us, and this is specifically for the divine will, because the first one who will live in the fullness of this gift of the divine will, we read in the three appeals, the third appeal, Luisa says, you, Holy Father, must be the first one to live in the fullness of this gift. This fullness is coming to the man with the keys to the kingdom. This is something that is so important for us to understand. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be excited about. There's nothing to be complaining about. Our life is to be a life of prayer, positive prayer. And so what Jesus is saying, as the babies come to the light, as they're born, baptizing them as you wanted, as the first light, and then giving each of them this divine life, this divine will life. We are seeing that the sorrow and the sadness that many women go through with the loss of their babies is God is going to use that for God's glory and for man's sanctification, for our sanctification. So in all situations, what God is showing us is don't panic. Don't look at the waves that are going on around you. Focus on Jesus. When Peter stopped focusing on Jesus, he sank. He was going to drown, and he knew he was going to drown. And he calls out to the Lord, save me. And what does the Lord do? The Lord grabs him and says, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? See, our life in the divine will as Catholics is to have complete confidence and trust in God. That's why he says, The final devotion I give to my church before I return is Divine Mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Jesus, my hope is in you, and Christian hope is certitude. So an excerpt from Father Bucci's memoirs, he says, on a cold and rainy day in 1906 or 1907, my grandmother told me her daughter, Rosaria, get dressed and let's go to Luisa la Santa, Luisa the Saint. And she said, Aunt Rosaria would not go because she was ashamed of her disability. She had epilepsy and the amputation of the four fingers on her left hand. And her mother says emphatically, let's go. So here, this again shows how it's important to be obedient to our parents. God inspires the parents. The Holy Spirit inspires the parents to lead and guide their children. And God knows their situation, and he loves the children and the grandchildren far more, much more than the mothers and fathers do. So what God is asking of us is to have confidence in God, trust in God. So here, we also go to Luisa. Luisa has things for us to do, and she's going to let you know what they are. So they arrived at the home of Luisa and her mother, and Luisa's mother welcomed my grandmother because they knew my grandmother very well. And they talked about many things, some common and distant relatives whom Aunt Rosaria did not even know. Luisa's mother offered pastries, homemade liqueur, and having finished talking, she led my grandmother and my aunt into the room of Luisa. And Luisa was busy working on the tumbolo. It's like a leather object that has holes in it. And these holes was where you would put this thread through making lace. The tumbolo is a lace-making pillow. And my grandmother and Luisa kissed, greeting each other as old friends, and they spoke of this and that, but mostly about Rosaria, who was behind the chair of her mother in total silence, filled with shame. See, what we have to go through, and this is very, very important. What we have to go through is recognizing that God is in charge of our life. And here, little Rosaria was in silence, filled with shame. And then at the end of the meeting, Luisa said to my grandmother, let her stay here. So Luisa knew, I mean, by the way the Lord was working with Luisa, that there's something special about this little one. And one day while she was busy working on the tumbalo in the company of other girls, Aunt Rosaria had a seizure, and all the little girls were frightened and they fled from the room. Only Angelina, this is Luisa's sister, came to Aunt Rosaria's rescue by inserting a handkerchief between her dental arches so that she would not bite her tongue because of the lockjaw. It is said that Luisa remained very calm in her bed. This was, Father Bucci would talk about this, how Luisa was always peaceful. Always peaceful. And this is how we're supposed to be in all situations. Luisa remained very calm in her bed, and she looked up to heaven, professing these words, Lord, if you have placed her, this is Rosaria, next to me, I want her healthy. And this was all confirmed to my mother by a friend of hers who was in Luisa's room. It's reality or legend. The fact that from that moment on, Aunt Rosaria had no more seizures and became perfectly embroiderer of the tumbalo. And the thing about it is you needed two hands with fingers to do this. Now all she had was a thumb on her left hand, and she became a master of making the thing that she was making, the lace. Sorry. It's been a long day. She would perfect, well, Luisa's, because of her stigmata, she couldn't tie the knots. She couldn't pull the knots tight enough. So Aunt Rosaria would go through what Luisa had made and tie all the knots tightly. She had to redo everything of what Luisa was doing. So after the healing from leprosy, this sickness that she had, Aunt Rosaria continued to visit Luisa's house. In short, she became so adept at working the tumbalo that Luisa entrusted to her the management of the teaching in her school of embroidery. So the little girls would come to learn how to do this embroidery. Her contribution to the good performance of the work became indispensable. After work, she began to take care of the person of Luisa with such zeal, with such affection, with such devotion, as to produce a motion of impatience in those who visited the servant of God, such that Father Inibile de Francia himself rebuked her, saying, "Do not touch her frequently, because Luisa is all of God, even in the body." So here, Saint Honorable de Francia recognized the saintly person of Luisa, and he says that Luisa is all of God, even in the body. And we see this at the end of her life when Father Bucci's sister went upstairs after Luisa died and brought the body of Luisa down the stairs. And there was his sister, and as she brought the body down, they said to her, "Was she heavy?" And she says, "No, she was as light as a feather." And in the divine will, you'll read this, Jesus says, those in the divine will become as light as a feather. And here is like a prophecy of Luisa. And that was Gemma, that was Father Bucci's sister. So Aunt Rosaria told me this while Father Inibile writes the same thing in different words. Luisa was not to be touched. Luisa said to Jesus, "Why did not my mother kiss me and hug me?" And Jesus says, "Because you belong to me," Jesus said. So this hugging and this kissing was absent of Luisa because she belonged totally to Jesus. Jesus would say to Luisa, "You are the newborn of the divine will. You are the firstborn of the divine will. You are the one who basically is filled with this light to the point of taking the place of Adam. We finally found a human born of original sin who can begin again where humanity left off with what? With the life of the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus and Mary. That's what Luisa possessed. So we go to Luisa, not for Luisa. We go to Luisa to receive this new and divine way of holiness of the life of Jesus and Mary reigning in us. Again, it's today's reading in the Book of Heaven. Jesus talks about divinization, how we are called to be, have this life of God, this light of God, this love of God reigning in us to such an extent that it's not about being good and holy and saintly, but it's like what the priest puts when the drop of water into the chalice to share in divinity. Read today's readings. It was just unbelievable how much our God loves us, that he would have us alive at this time to give us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great life of the new and divine way of holiness. So it says, Luisa was struck by unheard of storms, which would certainly have crushed any other person, but were surpassed by the profound humility, profound obedience, and profound faith, true food of this chosen soul. So this is what God puts us through as well. Do we have humility? Again, humility, to have humility, you have to be humiliated. You have to be laughed at, ridiculed, mocked, spit upon, and crucified, just like Jesus. Just this humility is to say fiat to God in all situations, not to stand up, "How dare you say that to me? Who do you think you are?" You know, no. Profound humility, profound obedience, this life that God wants us to live as he said to Adam, all that I ask is that you not eat of the fruit in the center of the garden, eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden. Everything else is yours. And he couldn't obey that. And then faith, trust in God, hope in God, confidence in God. This faith, you know, like Jesus said to Peter, where is your faith? Why did you falter? What's wrong with you? So when Jesus, when we are one with Jesus, he's going to help us enter into humility, enter into obedience, enter into faith, which Jesus says is the true food that I gave to Louisa. It's the true food that now he gives to us. Our Lady, her whole life was fiat. When she was conceived, she said fiat. When she was born, she said fiat. When she had to go to the temple, she said fiat. When she had to leave the temple, she said fiat. When she was engaged to Joseph, she said fiat. She was always saying fiat. When there was no room in the inn, she said fiat. When she gave birth to Jesus in the cave, fiat. As they had to flee to Egypt, it was fiat. As they come back to Nazareth, it was fiat. To have 30 silent years with Jesus, it was fiat. And then finally, at Golgotha, watching her son die, knowing that either he had to die or all of us died, she said fiat. Always fiat. And this is what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. When we say fiat, we can enter into humility. It doesn't matter what people say or what people think about you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's impossible, the obedience, keep holy the Sabbath. That becomes our life. Praying the rosary, wearing the scapular, attending First Saturdays. That's our life. Obedience to the church and the dogma and doctrine. And then finally, faith, trust, hope, confidence in Jesus. And that's why what we're going to go through, if we don't have Jesus, I trust in you, if we can't say that continuously in all situations, we're not going to get through what's coming. Either we stand, we discipline ourselves. You got to treat yourself like if you were a drill sergeant. You're going to do this. You're going to pray. You're going to kneel. Now, that doesn't mean if you have bad knees, you hurt yourself. You know, it doesn't mean when you fast, you starve yourself. That's not what the church says. But you discipline yourself to have that which the Lord wants you to have. Not any more, not any less. It's to live the life of peace, joy, and happiness. So Jesus says this profound humility, profound obedience, profound faith that Louisa had is the true food of Louisa and us. We're going to learn how to live this life. So her confessor and the persons who were close to her, especially faithful Rosaria, suffered tremendously. And while the weak of spirit abandoned her, they remained at her side with humility and faith until the triumph of the work of God. What's the triumph? Jesus said to Louisa, when I finally filled you with all that you could possibly have, he says, I will take you to heaven. So this is the triumph of the work of God. Now, the same thing for us. When at the moment of death, hopefully, we have the triumph of the work of God reigning in us. We've got to the point where God wants us. Like he said to Louisa, I'm going to make each of my children my divine masterpiece for God. That's the triumph of the work of God. And that's what the Lord is doing this in our life. And we need humility. We need obedience. We need faith. We need to discipline ourselves. My spiritual director told me a long time ago, that you pray whether you want to or not. Prayer is part of your life. You pray whether you want to or not. Because what happens is if you stop praying, everything starts to fall apart. You become separate from God. Prayer, like we said earlier, the prayer that God gives us is his prayer. And he wants to hear us echo his prayer, like especially the Our Father, the Holy Rosary. He asks us to pray with our heart. That's Jesus reigning in our heart. So again, what we are looking for, and this is what God is asking of us, is to have this triumph of the work of God in each of our lives, that Jesus is reigning in us. And again, we have the zeal and the fervor to say, I am not afraid. I was born for this time and God is with me. We're going to get through this. If you trust in God, if you can say, Jesus, I trust in you. If you can spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, looking at our Lord, not reading a book, but looking at Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, it's going to be the triumph of the work of God within you. So at one of the last visits, Jesus said, I made to my sister Gemma, she entrusted me with her notes in which she described working together with Aunt Rosaria to spread devotion to the servant of God after her death. So here, Aunt Rosaria would spend her time with Gemma. Gemma, Father Bucci's sister, was a real amazing, amazing lady. What Gemma told Father Bucci at one time was when Our Lady appeared to Luisa and would sit on the bed of Luisa, you know, talking to Luisa, she would hid under the bed, and she said that the bed went into heaven, and she experienced this heavenly trip where she said it was so beautiful, it was so amazing that there were no words to describe Our Lady taking Luisa to heaven in her bed and Aunt Gemma underneath the bed watching this happen. But anyways, there's so many great things that we're going to discover with Luisa. Why? It's not to pray the way the saints have prayed. It's to begin to pray the way Jesus and Mary prayed. This is the round of creation. This is the round of redemption. So Gemma accompanied Aunt Rosaria during all of her travels to San Giovanni Rotondo to see Padre Pio, to Rome to speak with a lawyer Palermo, who worked in the Vatican congregation, to the Holy Office of Cardinal Adetanavani, secretary to the congregation, to Trani, to Archbishop Adizi, to Salerno, to the Vicar General, and to who knew the servant of God, who knew Luisa, to Bari, to the Vicar General of the Diocese of Bari, to the Bishop, to the Archbishop of Mimi. Gemma told me that they had received a warm welcome from everyone, but all of them gave little hope for the opening of the beatification process. Okay, so again, there's little hope in a lot, but if it's God's will, it's going to happen. The same thing, we have been called by God to live at this time, to witness what God is going to do. Don't doubt. God is going to do this, and he is going to bring about a new beginning. Just think about it. I went to Rome in 1990, and I went to the Secret Archives of the Vatican. And because I said, these writings, I asked my spiritual director who worked in the Secret Archives of the Vatican to get the writings of Luisa out. And he says, I promise you, I will do this, you know. And then he died. So I went to Rome and went right to the Secret Archives. And I said, when got knocked on the door and they come in, you know, and got behind this, this wall, this half wall. And I said, I'm here. He goes, what can I help you with? I said, I'm here to get the books of Luisa Picaretta. And he says, we don't have them. I said, yes, you do. They're here. You know, I'm here for the books of, you know, Luisa Picaretta. He says, we've destroyed them. And I said, no, you didn't. I said, they're here. I said, I'm here to pick up the books of Luisa Picaretta. He goes, we have burnt them. We have destroyed them. And I said, no, they're not. They're here. I'm here to pick up the books. And he goes, get out. So I got back. I mean, I left. I flew there, went right to the Secret Archives. This nun, this really beautiful nun, she was about 80, 90. She was walking faster than me through going all over the place, you know, showing me all around. And We got back to the airport, got on the plane and flew back. 6 years later, I get a call from the secretary of the cause. And he said, would you go and copy the writings of Luisa? I said, would I go? So we went back, the same office, the same counter. And there is the same priest, but 6 years older. And I said, we're here for the books of Luisa Picaretti. He goes, oh, come in, you know. And I was the first one, there was five of us. I was the first one to walk in to the secret archives. And there was these books right there. It's about this big, you know. They're small little books, little notebooks. And I went up and I touched them and I said, are these the books of Luisa? And he goes, yes. And then we copied them. It was probably about that big. And they were just 5x7, something like that, books. But we copied them after 4 days of copying. And it was all day from the morning until evening, copying. We brought the writings to the Archbishop in Trani after that. But again, Jesus said, when these books come out, the face of the earth will be transformed. Now, what we know is since 1996, everything has changed. I remember the first time I flew in a plane, I was wearing a suit and tie. You know, now you can get onto a plane and you're wearing a t-shirt and shorts with flip-flops. What's happened? It's just completely different. So new things are coming. Amazing things are going to happen. You cannot believe what God has planned. It's so magnificent. It's so tremendous. So he says, Aunt Rosaria died at 80 years old in 1978 after only one day of illness, after praying a beautiful prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because of the extreme humility with which she lived, my aunt did not oppose her admission to the hospital where my nephews brought her without her explicit consent. And I and my sister Gemma, having learned the news of her hospitalization, immediately went to the hospital and assured Aunt Rosaria that tomorrow we would have her discharged. And it not being immediately possible due to the late hour, she said goodbye to me as if she foreknew it would be the last time and told me something that I've always kept always in my heart. So here is, there is things that are coming that God has planned. And he has allowed us to live at this time because God has planned this. This is not typical of what has happened for the last 2,000 years. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming to the world. And Jesus is, by the grace of God, is giving to us this book of heaven. It's just really, it's humbling. As you read the book of heaven every day, like today, like I said about divinization, God wants us to be in his image and likeness that Adam lost. So the new Adam and the new Eve comes to earth to begin this universal life that Adam lost, this Catholic life. And 2,000 years later, he says, finally, I found the newborn, the first one who can live this life, a human born of original sin. And now he's offering it to us. I mean, when you really think about it, this is indeed astonishing. So he says, I have the firm belief that Luisa came to take Aunt Rosaria personally because some women told things that puzzled me about the light and the fragrance that emanated from Aunt Rosaria's body. What had happened in the hospital, I had confirmation of it at the cemetery. Because the day after the funeral, the whole family gathered for the customary second burial ceremony. The coffin was opened for the last times. And to the wonder of all, Aunt Rosaria seemed to be sweetly sleeping. And a soft, sweet fragrance came from her coffin instead of the typical smell of death. They didn't embalm anybody. I mean, it's usually the day. But as a matter of fact, when Father Bucci died, he was buried the next day. He died on the eve of Our Lady of the Greca Church, the feast day of Our Lady of the Greca. So the coffin was open for the last time, and to the wonder of all, Aunt Rosaria seemed to be sweetly sleeping, and a soft, sweet fragrance came. came from her coffin instead of the typical smell of death. It was such a wonder that all the relatives and all the acquaintances were called, and those who were there wanted to touch and kiss her body. On the promotion of the writings of Louisa in 1938, a condemnation of the Holy Office fell on Louisa, the servant of God. Now, this is important to know. This was studied by Cardinal Ratzinger, and he found that the writings of Louisa were not the writings of Louisa that were condemned. So listen to this. He says, the servant of God was struck with unheard of storms. Many people turned away from Louisa while Father Calvary, Louisa's last confessor, Rosaria, and the sisters and a few others remained faithful to her. Louisa said to Aunt Rosaria, you will be my witness. After Louisa's death, Aunt Rosaria tirelessly promoted the beginning of the cause of Louisa under the spiritual direction of Padre Pio. You have to remember the first Divine Will prayer group was found. I mean, when you look at where the new basilica is at Giovanni Rotondo, the corner building, that corner building of this magnificent cathedral, a basilica, was the first prayer group meeting that Padre Pio led. He led it. He was the one that kept it open. And he's the one that started this. And the thing about, let's go back to the book. When the church condemned the writings of two books, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom and the Hours of the Passion, and they said, we condemn this. Louise says, I condemn it too. And they said, well, how can you condemn your own writing? She says, these aren't the words of Jesus. See, Father Calvary crossed out certain things and said, she really meant this. And that was what was condemned. That's what Cardinal Ratzinger at the time said. These were not Louisa's words. These were not the words of Jesus that were condemned, but it was Father Calvi's, her spiritual director, who was rewriting the things to make it easier for people to understand. And when he did that, he really put down heresy, and Louisa was condemned. And then when they said, we condemn these writings, she says, I do. I condemn them too, because they're not the words of Jesus. So Padre Pio said, Rosa, go ahead, for Louisa is great, and the world will be full of Louisa. After venerated Padre Pio's death, Rosaria made known to Padre Bucci, during my confession to Padre Pio, he told me that Louisa is not a human factor. These are the words of Padre Pio. Louisa is a work of God, and he himself will make Louisa emerge. Like I said, we haven't seen anything yet. What's coming is so magnificent. The whole world is going to shake, Jesus says, when they see Louisa. The whole world, this is in the book of Revelation. This shaking is going to happen. He says, God himself will make Louisa emerge. The world will be astonished at Louisa's greatness. Not many years will pass before this will happen. The new millennium, this is the third millennium, which John Paul II said, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind, will see Louisa's light. We're gonna witness this. Rosaria traveled, accompanied by her niece Gemma, to spread devotion to the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta. The travels included to St. Padre Pio of Giovanni Rotondo, to the lawyer Palermo, who worked in the Vatican congregation, to the Holy Office, to who the cardinal who heard of her kindly and promised to take up the case, to Archbishop of Trani, who said, Miss Rosaria, I do not know whether to reprimand you or to admire you for your courage. You have faced the guard dog of the church, the great defender of the faith, without being bitten. Again, what they saw was this gentle little soul, Aunt Rosaria, who had a deep love and understanding. She was the first one. She was the first one to basically read the Book of Heaven out of everyone. After St. Annibal de Francia died, they just worked together for those 40 years. He says, further, she went to see the Vicar General, the Monsignor of Salerno, the Vicar General of the Diocese of Bari, and and others. And one day the world will speak of Corrado as we now speak of Bethlehem. That's what Aunt Rosaria said. Now you have to remember that when the Muslims took over Israel, each part of Israel was given to a diocese as the titular diocese. And Trani has the name of Nazareth. Nazareth is where Our Lady was, who helped bring about redemption. Corrado is the place where Louisa was to help bring about sanctification. So you can see how God is working. On the Feast of Christ the King, November 20th, 1994, Archbishop Carmelo Cassati, this was my spiritual director's best friend, they were ordained together, of Trani, opened the cause of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, at the Mother Church, Santa Maria Maggiore in Corrado, Italy. Rosaria Bucci was buried in the Bucci family tomb in Corrado. Padre Bucci, Rosaria's nephew, priest, to whom was entrusted everything, died on July 17th, 2020, of the Feast of San Maria Greca, the church where Luis's body at the high altar, basically, is there. Father Bucci is to whom many attribute a spiritual father, the little children of the divine will throughout the world. He was a character. He was an amazing man, Father Bucci. He would bark and then he'd laugh. It was really hilarious to watch him work with people because they would jump and he'd just giggle at that. He was really funny. But so the spiritual father, I believe, is my spiritual father was Father Bucci. Luisa's body, once buried in the place of the Bucci family tomb, was then moved inside the church of St. Maria Greca, Corrado, Italy, on July 3rd, 1963, where she was baptized in the front of the church on the right side of the high altar. So when you go now into the church where Luisa would kneel as a little girl, you'll see this little square near the where she's buried. Now it's like she's looking at her tomb, as a little girl, where her tomb would be. One day after Aunt Rosaria's funeral, the whole family gathered, for the customary second burial. The coffin was open for the last time. In the wonder of all, Aunt Rosaria seemed to be sweetly sleeping, and a soft and sweet fragrance came from her coffin. This is something that is what's coming. Let me just put it this way. But Jesus tells Louisa, what is coming is going to astonish the whole world, astonish the church. It's for 2,000 years, we've learned how to pray the prayers of the saints. You know, we know how to pray the novenas. We know how to pray their thought. You know, when we read the breviary, it's always, this is what this saint thought. And it's beautiful, the second prayer, the second reading. What we're going to see is Jesus speaking to us, Mary speaking to us through little Louisa. This is not about being saintly, good, and holy. It goes to the second stage of living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the third stage, to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is a glorious time to be alive. And God isn't forcing us, but he's offering us the writings of Louisa, which really is Jesus speaking to Louisa and speaking to us. And what Jesus says to Louisa, he's offering to us. But we have to go back to that humility, that obedience, that faith that Louisa had. We have to go back to that love that Aunt Rosaria had for Louisa, and to witness to Louisa in how we think, how we pray. This indeed is a glorious time to be alive. This is an amazing time to be alive. And we haven't seen anything yet. Nothing yet. It's all of this is hints. We go up to the door. Let's think of, we go up to the door of the Holy Trinity, the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, this door that's going to open. And all we see is the light on the sill right there at the bottom of the door. You can't see anything. But when that door opens, this is what I mean. We haven't seen anything yet. We're going to be dazzled by the light of the divine will. God is going to open this door, and we're going to, everyone will be Catholic. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everything is ready. And God is looking at us and he's saying, do you want to participate in this? I'll let you, he says. All that I ask is read, study, put this into practice. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for divine healing for all our friends and family, our loved ones, that everyone be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.